This is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Dan Hurley. Later in the program, we'll talk about how much money college students pay to fund athletics. But first, Cincinnati companies have been focused on marketing and branding for decades, some might say more than a century. So what better place to host the International Brandemonium Conference later this year? More than 1,000 marketing and branding professionals will be in town for the October event. Today, we'll hear what they can expect. Joining me are co-founders Bill Donabedian, president of ESK Presents, and Kevin Canifax, co-founder of Suits That Rock and Play On. Career entrepreneur and founder of Big Ass Fans, Carrie Smith, joins us on the phone, and Vine Street Ventures managing partner and author of Predicting the Turn, the high-stakes game of business between startups and blue chips, Dave Knox. You can join the conversation by emailing talk@wvxu.org. You can give us a call at 513-419-7100. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
So for somebody that has never heard of Brandemonium, Bill, tell us what it is.
Well, the elevator speech is it's a branding and marketing conference here in Cincinnati. And one of the unique elements is we actually have brand activations and experiential marketing for the general public to check out every night. So we're kind of taking the world of branding and turning it inside out so the general public can check it out as well.
Now, you did have some jargon in there I'm going to ask you about in a minute. But Kevin, tell us first about, as you put this all together, why did you pick Cincinnati? You're both here. I mean, is that why? Or is there another reason that this is the place you picked for this
conference?
Well,
that certainly helps, but primarily because Cincinnati is the birthplace of branding. Branding, brand management was born at Procter & Gamble, and there is a real dearth of and concentration of marketing and branding expertise in this region that we feel, quite frankly, rivals the East and the West Coast. And it's because of companies like Procter & Gamble and Kroger and now 8451. And because of that concentration, it seemed like it was our right to win, our right to own that mantle as being the branding capital of the world. And we declare that. We shout that from the Seven Hills
the
in Greater Cincinnati.
Dave, what's your role in all of this?
Yeah, so my role is last year I got involved in the inaugural event. Actually, when my book came out, I was one of the keynote speakers that appeared. And then this year, I joined up with the guys for an event I have every year called Brand Fusion that brings together big brand marketers and startups at Paul Brown Stadium for essentially a networking speed dating event between them. And Brandemonium seemed like a great time to bring everyone into town from across the country to be able to not just attend a single event, but really be part of a branding week that was taking place.
Carrie, what's your role?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm the resident contrarian. From my perspective, branding is built as a long-term process. It's built on the way you do business, the way you treat your employees, the way you treat your customers, the way you treat your suppliers. It's not something that can be packaged and purchased and put online in 15 minutes.
How important is branding itself? I mean, is that one of the first things you have to look at when you come up with a service or a product, Carrie?
No, it's not. It is a matter of fact, branding is the most important thing. But, I mean, that's like imagining you had a child yesterday afternoon and you're wondering where she's going to go to medical school. I mean, that's first things first. But ultimately, I think that that you should aspire as a business person to develop a brand, because with the fan company, for example, gosh, we had 200 and something patents, and it would be an easy decision to pitch the patents, to let them all go, to not defend them in relation to maintaining the brand. Brands very difficult to acquire, very easy to lose, as I think you can see with somebody like Tesla, with Elon, and somebody like Theranos, possibly somebody like Honesty. It's something in my mind that you build over an extended period of time, and it is the way you do business.
Dave?
It's not a name or it's not a logo.
Dave?
Yeah. I mean, when I look at branding, it's I think Carrie said it perfectly. It's not the first thing, because then you end up inauthentic and there's not really a story behind it. But branding is so much more than just a logo or a color or any individual touch point. It's every single touch point. The way somebody answers the phone when they call your company, the way an employee engages at the front line, the way you see your marketing and TV and everything else, that's all part of branding. And I think that's a special thing about why Cincinnati is such a great home for it, is we do take that holistic approach. It's not just about in Hollywood focusing on the video aspect, or in San Francisco, the technology. Cincinnati is a place that's always thought about branding being every single touch point, and that's at the essence of what it is.
Gary?
It's the soul of the company. It's the personality of the company. That's all it is.
Well said.
And how that's expressed. And it has to be expressed. It can be expressed poorly and not make a brand, but of course you can express it and make a bad brand too. You think about Enron. There are lots of people that have brand that's not worth having. I think it's the guts of the company.
Bill, how important is the branding in your mind, and how important is this event towards people working towards their brands, for people that maybe really haven't thought about it, that they do have a product or a service and really haven't thought much about the brand?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, they may have just kind of blindly fallen into their brand. And I think this conference is about, look, this is something you can kind of take ownership of and you can direct and you can control. But as we've all kind of been talking, it's this essence. It's really who you are and how you behave. So it can't be just something you talk about or how good that logo looks. You have to back it up. And it's like you as a person. You can put on a front. You can put on a facade. You can talk the talk. But unless you walk the walk, no one believes who you are. So hopefully when people come to this conference, they'll really understand all the different ways their brand, or the brand that they're trying to build, all the different ways, all the different things they need to think about in order to do it in a manner that it's consistent and it's holistic. That's another word we've been using. And we also think, you know, branding is changing. We see it really manifesting itself in action. So brands are doing more with experiential marketing, with brand activation, because today's audience, they really want to engage with the brand in a meaningful way. So it's not, and I've seen that in my music festival world, it's not about putting your logo up on a banner anymore. It's doing something at the event to engage your audience and say, hey, we love what you love. And we want to make your experience even better. And that's why we're here. And that's a remarkable way to build a rapport with your audience. And that's what, you know, we hope Brandemonium is really about. We see branding changing. We see it being much deeper than a lot of people think, much more meaningful. And then hopefully they can improve their chops while they're here in Cincinnati.
Kevin, we talk about the idea of how branding, Bill mentioned how branding has changed. Can you take us from what branding was years ago and maybe an example of good branding 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years ago versus something now?
Well, I would say, of course, we talked about Procter & Gamble being the standard bearer. So think about P&G creating the soap opera genre, the television series program, and product placement. And that's probably the most iconic, you know, 30, 40, 50, even 60, 70 years ago, in terms of creating an identity and a brand with a company, and also through entertainment and reaching multiple households all over the country. And that's why they were called soap operas, obviously, because of Ivory Soap and P&G products. That would be a more iconic relationship or example, I should say. But to Bill's point, I think what we're seeing today is really all about experiential. It's all about the experience. It's all about the individual having some connection to the product or service that the particular company or business is presenting. So there's a lot of talk about branding being the essence of who you are or what you represent. It's also very cultural. So when I think of a company, I work for Fidelity Investments. That's my day job. I think about, as Dave pointed out, the associates that come to work every day and are the front line and have the engagement with the customers and the clients. what's their feeling, what's their essence about Fidelity, and how are they conveying that and or presenting that to the customer base and to the population at large. That's what branding is today. And when we talk about Brandemonium, we really want people to come together and share examples of how branding is evolving, and we want them to learn from one another. And if that would probably be the primary takeaway from Brandemonium, is learning, because this is very fluid. Because technology has advanced so rapidly, it's a primary tool now, a primary catalyst for helping to evolve what branding has become. I mean, you look at Facebook, you look at Twitter, you look at Instagram. There's a company that solely exists to place animals online through Instagram and photographs with captions, and people are figuring out ways to link that to products and services in order to drive viewership and images and engagement. And that's something 10 years ago no one would have thought about doing.
Don't you think that you run the risk calling advertising and marketing branding, and though you use marketing and advertising to enforce and grow the brand, you certainly don't use it to establish a brand. The brand's established. I mean, one of the bands that's playing. I mean, you know, you can if you're a bad musician, it doesn't matter where you are. You're never going to have any brand, because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the quality of the product that's going to support your brand and support your marketing and support your advertising. It doesn't work the other way around. And I think that's something, hopefully, that can be conveyed at Brandemonium, is that there's more depth to this. This isn't on the surface. It's not just slapping ads on the internet or on a billboard or wherever the heck you put them.
Well, and I think that's a great point. It's the shift we've had is that 50 years ago, branding was controlled because the mediums you could use were controlled. You could send it out on TV and print, and that's why branding was the world of taglines. Choosy moms, choose Jeff, and everything else. But think about all the brands that were just communicated recently. I don't think any of us could say any of the taglines that go with them, because today brands are what's experienced, because what you experience, you can share, and you can share instantaneously. And that bad experience at the front line can be told to many, many people outside of channels that are controlled based on media spend. So I think that's the big shift, is branding was advertising 50 years ago because of the limited choices. Today, branding is having a renaissance because it's now broken free of just being a marketing and advertising, and it's all the things that Carrie just said.
Dave was talking about the whole idea of how branding used to be advertising, and it's changed. And Carrie, you wanted to add something, and I cut you off. What did you want to say?
Oh, no. All I was going to say was that you can put the finest clothes or finest jewelry on a mannequin. You're not branding the mannequin when you do that. I think you have to be very careful with what you're conveying. And I think it's very interesting. I'm very, very, very passionate about branding, because I think that is the key to a business, to building a good brand. That is the most important piece. But it starts at the very bottom. It in my mind has very little to do with how you convey that. Obviously, that's important, whether it's Facebook or whatever social media. But what's most important at the end of the day, and I think hopefully we'll convey it at Brandemonium, is that doing business, doing right, being completely transparent in your business dealings is the key to brand. The ultimate key to brand, not the dressing.
Well, and how do you find that out? Is that strictly a word of mouth thing? Because one customer tells another customer, who tells another customer?
Oh no! That's your marketing. That's your advertising. That's where you build the brand. That is a method to build a brand. It has nothing. I mean, it has something to do with that. But again, you have to have something to sell. I mean, you have to have something to sell. You have to have a product that people believe in, and they're not going to believe in it just because you tell them about it. You have to live the brand. You have to make a connection with your customer that is not as simple as describing it. I've interviewed, thousands of people, and I'll have people come in and say, "Well, I'm very imaginative," and it's like, "Really? That's interesting. Why would I believe that?"
Well, tell us how did you show it with your company when you started Big Ass Fans? How did you practice what you're preaching here? What did you do?
Well, I mean, there's two steps to it. Well, there's more than two, but I think the key in the beginning is to build a product. For us, it was fans, to build a product that was unsurpassed, that people understood what we did. They knew that we built the best, that if there was a problem, that we were going to take care of them. And that was the main thing. And then on top of that, the branding of that is the story, and the story is promulgated in any number of ways. But you have to step out into the world of the media to promulgate that story. But again, at the end of the day, it's not much of a story if it can be paper thin unless you back it up in the way that you do business.
Bill, one of the things you talked about with Brandemonium is this whole local activation component. Why don't you explain what that is? Because that sounded very jargony to me.
Well, you know, I do some music festivals, and we have sponsors who come in and want to do brand activations. So Sony bought their PlayStation tour to Bunbury a couple years ago, and we had people saying, "How do I get tickets to this?" And I was like, "No, you buy tickets to the festival, and Sony's just there." And that's when it really struck me that, wow, people... when brands do great activations, their fans want to come out. And so it was like, okay, well, what if we got rid of the music festival component? And what if we just build an event with great brand activations and experiential marketing? Let them kind of take over every street corner, empty building, do pop-up shops, do installations, do whatever to kind of engage their audience in a new way. And what if the general public could just come downtown and walk around and see something from Sony? Or like this year we have Maker's Mark, who's going to be doing a tasting lounge on the square, and a couple other surprises that we have. And let's see what happens. Let's turn this into a petri dish for great brands to say, what cool things can we come up with, and what can we try out and see what works with engaging our audience?
So this event, it's two parts. It's the conference, convention, whatever you want to call it, and the sort of festival part of it all. Kevin, explain the difference between the two and how the general public can participate.
Sure. So the conference, as you mentioned, is more the B2B. So you have people from the industry that will be attending the conference to hear the keynotes and the panels, participate in the sessions. The festival component is free and open to the public. So after the conference schedule is completed, at the end of the day, those folks will be free to go out and have the experiences as part of the festival itself. But we're also going to promote and market the festival to the general public so that they can come down and experience the lounge on Fountain Square or some of the other brands that are going to be doing activations
and
experiential marketing. And that's free and open to the public. And again, we will be promoting and marketing that effectively so that people know well in advance where it is, what time it'll be running. Those activations will be running 7 to 10 p.m. Yeah. On October 3rd and October 4th as part of the conference.
That's what we kind of call it, a South by Southwest for brands.
Right.
Just like at South by, the musicians and the people in the industry attend the conference during the day, but everyone goes to see the shows all over the place in the venues, and that's exactly what we're doing. Same concept, but this entertainment is really driven by brands.
Now, I know you don't want to give away your surprises for this year, but what were some of the activations last year that people experienced?
I think one of the coolest one was Totes did an art installation where they covered an entire parking lot with umbrellas, and it was, you know, beautiful to look at.
Was that part of Blink? Because I saw an umbrella thing during Blink, or was this separate from
it? It was separate from Blink. And then we had, like, Jeep did a ride and drive all over town, and Maker's Mark was there in the first year. And they
Southwest
did,
Airlines had their mobile.
That's true. They had the
porch.
Southwest porch on Fountain Square, and Maker's Mark did a takeover at three different venues. And so that's what they look like. And it's going to take some time, but this is something we really want to grow and make a big component of the event.
Now, Dave, you were talking about brand fusion, which we just sort of touched on a little bit. Tell us a little more. We've talked about the conference part of this. We've talked about the activation. Tell us how brand fusion works and who can participate.
Yeah, so brand fusion is something that started about 6 years ago, and it was actually done in collaboration with the Brandery, the startup accelerator that I helped launch. And we started doing it because we had all of these great mentors that help out the early stage companies that were looking for another thing to do when they were coming in town for the demo day. And that's what Brand Fusion was started. So it's a private invite-only event that takes place in town where we have about 35 different big companies, so mostly Fortune 500, that send their marketers that have business challenges. And then there are startups that are nominated by venture capitalists, by other people that will meet one-on-one with those businesses in the goal of hopefully finding solutions to those business challenges. So this year we should have probably about 70 marketers coming in for that and probably about 50 to 60 startups. And all of them will be participating in Brandemonium as well. So it's going to be a great collaboration of people coming back and forth between the events.
And Carrie, you're the keynote speaker. What should we expect from you?
Well, I guess you're going to get my version of how to run a business and the fact that ultimately where you want to go is you want to make sure that everybody knows who you are, and consequently you build your brand. It's the best.
And you know, I've gotten a chance to talk to Carrie a couple times now, and the name of his company, it comes through. You know, it's kind of it does a lot of things, the big ass fan name. You know, it kind of differentiates your customers. Some customers might be turned off about it. That's not his customer. But there's a little piece of his personality that comes across, I think, in the name and his company. And I think that's why he's achieved such a great brand, is it really comes, he's the fountainhead for that. So that's why we're excited to see him.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that very much. And I think that you're exactly right.
Well, thank you all.
You have to live that brand.
Yeah.
So we'll hear more about that too as well, I'm sure. Thanks so much for being here, everybody. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much
for having us.
We've been talking about Brandemonium. It's coming up in October. My guests were co-founders Bill Donabedian, president of ESK Presents, and Kevin Canifax, co-founder of Suits That Rock and Play On, career entrepreneur and founder of Big Ass Fans, Carrie Smith, and Vine Street Ventures managing partner, and author of Predicting the Turn, the high-stakes game of business between startups and blue chips, Dave Knox.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.